Let's grab our Bibles, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20. And kind of privileged to preach to you this morning. And when Brother Ogden asked me to preach, I'm like, are you serious? And just shocked. And it's just an honor to be able to preach to y'all. And I appreciate you being out and being here and not being scared of COVID-19. And, you know, we're more scared of COVID-19 than the Antichrist. It's crazy. And it's just a weird thing. Go to 1 Timothy 6:20. If you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We got it on? I don't know your last name, sir. Mr. Soundman? All right. Mr. Soundman. 1 Timothy 6:20. And let's read verse 20 and verse number 21 together. Again, thank you, preacher, for letting me speak in your pulpit. It's an honor. And I want to be a blessing to you all today. And so if you bear with me, then take it right, then it'll be a blessing. If you take it wrong, they have a county building somewhere in this area where they take complaints and they're paid by your tax dollars. And I want to encourage you to take your complaints there and don't give them the name of this church. Give them the name of some Catholic church and that'll be a blessing. And if you're watching by way of YouTube, I did say that. So verse 20, 21 together. Ready? O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Let me start again. Let's read it together out loud. Ready? O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let's go ahead and we'll pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we call Sunday in your word the Lord's day, and this is your day, Lord. We thank you for that first Sunday morning where you rose from the dead. Lord, you're such a wonderful God, and today we want to exalt you. Today we ask that you would speak to our hearts for your divine power. Lord, it's my prayer that I could be a blessing by giving your word faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. Thank you for standing. O Timothy, verse number 20, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You know, God has entrusted the church of the living God to be the pillar and ground of the truth. God has entrusted us as Christians who make up the church to carry that truth. Some things have been committed to us as Christians, as God's people. And yet through the centuries, whether you're in the Old Testament, the New Testament, or in our current history or a present day, the devil's always tempting every church, every culture throughout time to drop certain truths. And God comes to Timothy, who he was using to ordain elders in different cities and start churches and be a pastor and so forth. And he comes to him and said, I want you to keep that which has been committed to thy trust. And if a man like Timothy, a preacher like Timothy, needed to be reminded to keep some things, I think we need to be reminded to keep some things as well. We need to keep the truth. And we need to make sure that we keep it the way God would have us keep it. You know, we have a lot of crazy stuff going on in our day, don't we? There's a group that has been called Marxist. They claim to be trained Marxists, the leaders of the group. I don't know if you all know that, but I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. The leaders claim they're trained Marxists. Bill Ayers and the other gentleman, Ben, I think it is, back in the 80s, FBI declared domestic terrorist. They said on national television their desire was to topple America's government. I mean, they didn't hide nothing. That's the people that taught the folks, the two ladies that are over Black Lives Matter. You know, Marxist group, they've gotten a lot of media attention. Have you all noticed that? And in watching this group, we have seen them attack things about our culture. I'm talking about keeping the truth right now. America does have a godly heritage. I'm talking about keeping the truth right now. But they've attacked our culture. They've vilified people of history. And they've also got a pursuit to bury the true history, our godly heritage that we have, by pointing out every little fault. Maybe it's not even real. Maybe they make them up, exaggerating. But trying to point out every fault and every issue with every single person. Trying to make you think that they're bad people. I thank God for the history that our country has. And if it wouldn't have been for the founders of our country, they wouldn't have a place to speak in our country anyhow. Everybody say amen right there. The statues they're taking down and everything they're trying to do is just terrible. By the way, we need the police. And we ought not limit the police. And just because you got one bad one out of a million doesn't mean they're all bad. Y'all help me out right now. Man, we're in a mess right now. And the media is a big problem of that mess. It's the false pulpit of our day. Somebody said God's people in the Bible were taken over by the Medes or by Media in Persia. We're being taken over by Media again. Don't get your feeling of what you ought to do in a country from the pulpit of the media. Get it from the pulpit of the church house. Everybody say amen right there. And the BLM on their website. Here's what BLM says on their website. They have other agendas. They ain't about racial equality. They're against biblical teachings. 7/24/2020 is when I pulled this from their website. They said our goal is to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. They said our goal is to foster a queer affirming network in America. They said that their goal is to, that they're self-reflexive and they want to do the work required to dismantle a cisgender privilege. You know, that's where you're born and they put boy or girl on your birth certificate. Y'all don't get mad at me or nothing, but I don't wear pink. And I don't wear lace. Is everybody okay with that? And when I was born, they put me in baby blue clothes because I was a baby. Everybody say amen right there. My wife still thinks I'm a babe. Everybody say amen on that. And praise God for a good lady's got good sense of taste. Amen. And but back on track. But they put me in blue and then they put the girls in. I mean, there was a gender identification. The goal of Black Lives Matter is to remove that because they think there's five genders. My news to them is you need to go visit a farm. There's only two genders. And if it wasn't for straight people, queer people, sorry, sodomites wouldn't be here. They ought to thank God for every straight person there is. Everybody look up here. When Paul got saved, God didn't send him down a crooked street. He sent him down a street called what? Because God's for straight people. Is everybody awake right now? I'm talking about standing for truth. And these truths matter. And the Black Lives Matter group's not about racial equality. That's just some makeup they put over the whole mess. They're a Marxist group. And I'm not getting on Marxism, communism, though it probably needs to be gotten on. But what I'm saying is those philosophies of government are against church. They're against Christ. They're against us meeting. They're against us having Bibles. And so where they go against God, we've got to be against them. We're Christians. We're Christians. Oh, listen, we need gender identification too. I got to say that again. The movement, they're seeking to remove the Bible teaching that God made us male and female. Ladies, it's wonderful you're a lady. It's good to be feminine. It's not second place citizen. Men, it's good to be masculine. You don't need to dye your hair. You don't need to pluck your eyebrows. God help, we might need to shave them sometime in the middle, but we don't need to pluck them, brother. Y'all say amen right now. We don't wax our beards. If y'all shave, don't wax. Buy a blade. Amen. We have men right now in good churches going to get manicures and pedicures. Well, my wife invited me. Sure she did, because she don't know no better. That's why she needs the man of the house. Amen, friend. I'm talking about it's good to be a man, and it's good to be a lady, and it's good to dress according to that. If you're a lady, dress like a lady. If you're a man, dress like a man. But we live in a day where everybody's getting it all confused. Listen, I'm glad to be a man, and I'm glad my wife's a woman, and I don't want her to be the man of the house. I want that job, and she don't want me to be the woman of the house. She wants that job. God made them male and what? Oh, y'all didn't help me out. God made them in the beginning. It's in the Bible. God made them male and? Female. There wasn't no, I don't know what you are. There wasn't no tranny. Male and? Different hairdos, 1 Corinthians 11. It's all part of it. Different behaviors. Why want a man with soft, silky skin? Are you crazy, lady? I mean, guys, don't worry about getting crow's feet on your eyes. They're healthy. Look, guys, we came into this world about, you know, very little hair, most of us. And all the women went, oh, he's so cute. No hair, no teeth. And man, as we get older, we don't need wigs and we don't need makeup because we're just going back to the way we was when we came into the world. We're getting better looking as the day goes on. Everybody help me out right now. Say, did you just say that? I guess I did. It's not in my notes, but I did. This movement, get back, Black Lives Matter. It's affirming things and calling people to engage in things that God calls an abomination. It's wicked. It's working. As Christians, we love all people. We want them all saved and in heaven. And we're not out to protest any group. We're out to preach the Word of God. We're not against black people. We're not against white people. We're not against any colored people. We believe that all people were created equal. We believe that God loves all people equally. And we believe that. And because we believe that, we want to see everybody saved and in heaven with us. With us. We're out to reach the lost is what we're here. We're out to promote the holy God and live holy for Him. 1 Timothy 6:20, keep the truth. Don't cave because of the strife and the lies of our current day. Keep the truth, O Timothy. Keep the truth. Keep the truth. You know, we're taught in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. My mom told me I got Indian blood in me. My skin color don't show it. I got her skin color. But I track my lineage back to Noah, and so I figured out I got Indian blood in me. Some of you get that later on. But, you know, we got Christians now identifying who they are based on their race again. And I think some of it comes from a bummer that was in office several years ago. Help me. I thought I was an American. I mean, they did the survey and say we don't discriminate against race and all this stuff. But then they want to know your race. I thought I was just American. I'm not an Anglo-Saxon, European, French, Germanic, Native American American. I just thought we were just American. One country. But can I just help you out? In the Bible, we don't identify for the most part as Jew or Gentile. You know what we identify as? Christian. We find our identification outside of that male, female, amen, right there. We find our identification not by our race, but by our faith. Say, so what are you, Christian? Child of the King. Been born again, regenerated. The Bible further teaches, Acts 17:26, we all came from one blood. They got married and they had offspring. Hey, 1 Timothy 6:20, we're supposed to stand against the fake science of the day. Evolution. I'm going to get my outline soon, but we're just an introduction. Everybody still all right? As saved people, we don't hold evolution. Theistic evolution, day-age theories, and all this other mess. We don't hold to that. Evolution teaches that, you know, we came from the monkey. And so some races are further evolved than other races. We don't hold to that trash. Is everybody awake? And Timothy's told to avoid oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Evolution ain't new. Evolution teaches, you know, we came out of the ocean. You know, there was like this cosmic thing that blew up and then it created this rock and then it rained on the rock. Y'all know? And then there was like a little amoeba that developed in the water and decided it wanted to swim, grew some fins and then grew some scales. And then it decided to want to crawl land, so it developed warts on its belly. And then it hopped out and it was like from ooh to goo to the zoo to you. Adolf Hitler bought into evolution and he developed a whole list of people that hadn't evolved as far as the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white people. So he went out to exterminate everybody that was messing with the Aryan supreme race. We're against evolution because it is racism. We're against evolution because we abstain, we abhor false science. That ain't science. We're watching a discovery thing, you know, and they started telling their fairy tales, their faith. About where we came from billions of years ago. Did you know? They just found out. They didn't know. They just figured out. The hippopotamus and the blue whale are cousins. I didn't know that, brother. But they just found that out. And the change happened billions of years ago. Like 100 billion. And I'm like, wow, that's science. I'm sure somebody was watching that happen. They don't know. They never saw it. They say, how can you prove God created? I said, well, how can you prove billions of years ago? It's all based on assumptions. Everybody say amen. As saved people, we don't hold those false teachings of evolution. We got more, by the way, we got more science for creation than evolution right now. Just look at the Grand Canyon, the space of the earth from the planet, the distance of the moon from our planet, the erosion rate. Is everybody good right now? Amen. Creation. Because we believe the Bible, we hold we're all created equal. We came from God. But this morning, I'm not just speaking about things I've been mentioning. There's many truths we're being tempted to drop. Many truths that groups like the Marxist group, Black Lives Matter, trying to shove us in a corner on, trying to get us to tone down on. Keep church within your walls of your building. No, church needs to get out of the walls of the building. But they got all these things they're trying to get us to compromise on. And Timothy's being reminded by God, don't cave to the pressure. Keep the truth. Keep it all. Don't compromise. You know, Moses and Pharaoh, y'all remember that story? Moses and Pharaoh. Moses comes to Pharaoh. Y'all remember? Let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said no. Then after some things took place, Pharaoh called Moses in. He said, okay, who's all going to go? He said, everybody and everything that we have. And Pharaoh said, no, you men go serve the Lord. Everybody else stays here. No, no compromise, Pharaoh. No, you men go to church. Leave the women and children back behind. No, no compromise, Pharaoh. Some other stuff happens. He says, all right, you and the wives go worship, but leave your children here. No, no compromise, Pharaoh. A little bit later, come in. I think there's five total compromises. He said, all right, you and your children, but your animals and your stuff stays back. He said, nope, we don't know what God's going to want. We have to take everything we own. Because everything we own is His, and we don't know what He's going to want when we get out there, because it's all His, and we got to make sure we're ready to serve Him what's His that He made us stewards of. And you know how the story happened, but you know in our day, our government's seeking to give us compromises too. Man, who would ever thought that one virus could shut down all the churches around the world? And a lot of pastors, we didn't announce the church was closed. Just God's people didn't come. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, we were scared. They had us all afraid. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Man, but they had us, didn't they? I ain't getting on you. I'm saying they had us. What about in Paul's day where they were hauling Christians out and burning them? Using them as candles in their gardens at night for the government officials. You want to talk about demented, brother? I can't even imagine walking through my garden with my wife and saying, look at these Christians lighting the way for us. Isn't this wonderful? You want to talk about, I mean, you got to be possessed to be able to enjoy your garden with that stuff going on. And yet they still went to church. Amen. And then when they were starting to slack off, Hebrews 10 comes in and says, don't neglect to assemble yourselves together. Amen. Oh, man, they kept at it. 1 Timothy 6:20, God's telling Timothy, no matter what the world does to you, no matter what they throw at you, keep the truth. Keep standing. Keep being that salt and light. Number one, keep the truth. How do we do it? Well, it's not about keeping a bunch of rules. That's not what I'm giving you this morning. I'm going to give you the principles that help you keep all of it. Number one, keep the truth. Ready? Keep faithing your way through life. Amen. Keep faithing. Would you say it with me? Ready? Keep faithing. It's faith with ing. Ready? Say it again. Keep faithing. Look at 1 Timothy 6:11. When we get there, say amen. But thou, a man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Timothy, the man of God, he's told to follow these things. These are all things we get as we walk by faith. These are all things we get as we trust the Word of God. Is that right? In other words, Timothy, as you find things and experience things in the service of the Lord, don't follow after justice. Don't follow after vengeance. Don't follow after I wish everybody knew what really happened. Don't follow after those things in your heart and mind, Timothy. Instead, Timothy, follow after righteousness. Instead, Timothy, when people wrong you, you just decide, I'm going to follow after being godly anyhow. And godliness starts with forgiveness at the cross, if you all remember. And Timothy, instead of following after anger, I want you to follow after faith. And I want you to follow after love. And I want you to follow after patience. And Timothy, you might have the ability to get even with people, but instead of using your muscle and using your knowledge to hurt somebody or get revenge, I want you to be meek like Moses was. I want you to follow after these things. So Timothy, when people disappoint you, Timothy, when the government sets things out that upsets you, here's what I want you to do. Follow after faith. Amen. Keep faith in your way through life. Romans 8:28. All things work together for what? Good. All things work together for what? That means everything that happens, God can turn around to be for our good. God can turn around to use it in our life. And so, Timothy, when people disappoint you in church, when you disappoint yourself in church, say amen right there. When you embarrass yourself, when sometimes somebody catches you or corrects you, I just want you, Timothy, to count it as part of the faith. I just want you to have faith that I'm going to use this in your life, and I'm going to use it to bless you as long as you keep loving me. Keep faith in your way through life. This morning, God's saying to us, don't get bitter. Don't backslide. Don't burn out because things happen you don't like. Don't burn out because something has happened that's grieving you in hard times, in frustrating times, in confusing times. Remember to keep the faith. Amen. Go to 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. Oh, there's so many dear men of God that aren't in the ministry today because they got hurt, because they experienced things they didn't like. What happened? They started following after, "I don't want to be hurt." They started following after, "I wish people really understood what happened." They started following after some type of revenge or vengeance, but we wouldn't call it that in America, but that's kind of what it was. And it devoured their own faith from them. It choked them out in the Word, in their heart. It became unfruitful, Luke chapter 8 says. Don't follow after any of that stuff. Just decide God's in control. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And He's going to make all this work together for good. And all I got to know is that He knows. And all I got to do is what He's put me on earth to do. And that's to love the people of God and to shine a light of love to the lost people of this world. Amen. You're in 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, that's us as Christians, isn't it? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh our world. Even our arguments. Even our social media posts. Even our diets. What's it say? Even our faith. Keep faith in your way through life. In Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith chapter, some have called it, we find ordinary people did extraordinary things. What was the secret? They chose to faith the things they did not like so they could honor the one who died for them and love them, the one they did like. Figure out what you're here for in this world. Figure out what you want to live for in this world and start living by faith again. Amen. Oh, hey, are you being eaten up inside? You're holding on to something you need to let go of. And you need to just let God take care of that thing. I'm not talking about letting crime go away. Everybody help me out right now. Not talking about letting criminals go away. Romans 13, let the government do their job. Everybody say amen on that one. But it seems to be the things that aren't criminal that destroy Christians. Remember, it was a straw that broke the camel's. Y'all know these expressions. Keep faith in your way through life. All things work together for what? 1 Timothy 6:20, in the pressures of life and the temptations. Don't drop one truth, Timothy. Just keep faithing everything that happens. Believing what God has said. For He has not lied to you. He has not deceived you. It all will work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. Number two, keep the truth. Keep faithing, number one. Number two, keep fighting. Would you say it with me? Keep fighting. 1 Timothy 6:12, you there? Fight the good fight of what? It's a fight. It's a fight. The word fight, somebody defined as struggle, contend, strive. In 1 Timothy 6, God is saying if we're going to keep the truth, we need to fight. As we watch the liberal anti-God agenda in our country, we see how they fight against godly values. And it seems they forego certain issues with each other to attack their common agendas together. Have you noticed that? I mean, Sanders and Pelosi got together, even though they're a little bit different. Are y'all awake? And then you got the squad. I forget all their names. Let's see. MR, the Arab, and whoever else. You know, the squad. Y'all know who I'm talking about? The squad? President Trump, I mean, he's got some good titles for people. It helps me remember who he's talking about. Everybody say amen. So, I mean, I'm just quoting President Trump. If you're watching by way of YouTube, just quoting. And so, ready? I mean, the squad. But they got these liberal agendas. Anti-God agendas. But they're able to get behind other people that are liberal, even though they don't agree with where they're at and wish they were more extreme on some areas like they are, to try to defeat not just Donald Trump, but the pro-life crowd. The pro-capitalism crowd, the pro-religious freedom crowd, the pro-freedom of speech crowd, and then we got Christians. I mean, they know how to fight a fight for their agenda. And then we got Christians, and we can't fight the fight of faith together. I mean, we get There are things that are important. Don't get me wrong. Don't misquote me. Don't misunderstand me. There are things that are important. But you're going to have to drop some of the things that are non-essential to focus on the main thing of the church. You're going to have to learn to fight the right fights. We get fighting at each other, and the Bible warns us in Galatians that we're to take heed lest we bite and devour one another. Just like, oh, well, they didn't sing happy birthday to my kid. Well, maybe it wasn't a happy birthday for your kid, so they didn't want to be false. Everybody say amen. Church was not placed here to sing happy birthday to my kids or your kids. There's something bigger than that. You say, well, it was because they just don't like my kids. Well, nobody likes anybody's kids. Say, I don't believe that. Well, that's going to pay the medical bills next time. Help me. That's why they live in your house and why my kids live at my house or the dog house. Everybody say amen on that. But, I mean, for real, we have folks get so upset about so many things. I was 21. We were prison missionaries at the time, and we were living up in Manistique. And there was a guy that got mad. Now, with COVID, we're doing things like you're doing with the offering plates. You know, it's just all different. But this guy got so mad and split a church. And one of the issues he named, there's like three main issues. One of the main issues he named was they passed an offering plate. He said in Jesus' day, they had a box and everybody put it there as they were coming and going. You all know what he's talking about the widow with two mites. And I said, sure. I said, why don't you like plates? He goes, because everybody sees what you're giving. I said, you ever notice in the passage what Jesus told the disciples to do at that box? He said, what's that? I said, he told everybody to watch how much people were given and who was given. So what I figured out was he wasn't giving. Amen, friend. Or if he did give, it was probably an empty envelope with somebody else's name on it. Everybody say amen right there. Unless you've done it, then just go ahead and say amen, because everybody already knows who I'm talking about. Amen. And silly. Silly. Amen. We're not put in church to take up the offering the way we want. The main thing is God said we're to bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse. He didn't tell us to take it in the parking lot, in the bathrooms, in the church, in our offices. He left it up to us to figure out what works best. Amen. And I think you've got enough good men in the church. You can figure that out. Amen. We fight the wrong fights. We get fighting over the wrong things.
Right.
Over the years, I've talked to married couples, and they get fighting over the wrong things. And it's almost like they thought they got married so they could each squeeze the toothpaste where it's supposed to be squeezed. Couples fight. Well, he always squeezes it from the middle. Leaves the cap off. Then we bought the flip top, and the flip top's off. Help me. And they fuss and fight. It's weed whacker Christianity. Everybody help me right now. Did you get married to have the toothpaste squeezed the way you want? Or did you get married to squeeze the person you love? Not body slam and squeeze. What did you get married for? What about toothpaste? I had a deep solution to one couple truly struggled with this. I mean, this is one of the many things. I mean, there were so many that was, I didn't even focus on the stupid issues. But I did say this. I said, can't you buy two tubes of toothpaste? I'll go get you one right now. His and hers. Somebody say amen. You say, well, we don't fight over that. Yeah, but you fight over where the shoes are. You fight over something else. Well, why is my so-and-so leave his clothes all over? Leave her clothes all over. Well, they want to give you a path to be able to find them. Amen. They don't want you to get lost. Just keep following the clothes. What did you get married? What are we in church for? Just to have the offering just so? What are we in church for? Because we want our kids to sing happy birthday too? What did you get married for? Toothpaste, the placement of shoes, so the sheets are made a certain way, the bedspread's a certain way. What did you get married for? Hey, remember the main thing and keep it the main thing and fight to keep the main thing the main thing. In our passage of 1 Timothy 6, you know what you find? The devil's not mentioned in this fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We all know that verse. We all quote it after we have a good old fight. Everybody say amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We all know that. We wrestle against the devil. We know that passage. But in this passage, he's not talking about the devil. In this passage, he's not talking about your spouse. He's talking about here. Your own heart. You know, you got to fight the right fight of faith in here. Now, I got married because I love that woman and I want to be with her the rest of my life. And so I'm going to enjoy her. And so if there's something that annoys me about her, it's just part of the whole package. Amen, friend. And she married me. She ain't found nothing to annoy her. I never annoy her. She's just smiling back there. That's what my wife does. She's just smile and nod. Amen. But main thing, I came to church. God saved my soul. I go to church to love God's people. I go to church. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan? I go to church to be the Samaritan, to be the neighbor, to show mercy, to be a light for God, to show love to God. But in order to do that in here, I got to keep the faith in here. I got to fight the good fight of faith in here. So I keep the main focus, because the devil's the accuser of who? Not Nancy Pelosi. He's not the accuser of Nancy Pelosi. He's the accuser of the who? He likes to get inside of here. He likes to shoot them arrows right to your heart. I won't touch it because I don't know you. Right to your heart. And he likes to put thoughts in there and be like,
they didn't do that for you.
Right. Yep.
That means they don't love you.
Right.
Well, they did. They didn't have a nice little going away college party for you. That means that people didn't love you back then. There's favorites here.
Look up here, Reuben, Simeon, Issachar. It's the devil trying to get you against
Amen.
Your brother.
Amen.
Joseph ain't your enemy. Jacob's not your problem. It's in here.
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. We got to learn to fight the right fights. Number one, we're going to have to learn to keep the truth by following after faith. And then we got to keep fighting. Fighting, fighting, fighting. Go to Isaiah 59:14. Fighting. You know, if a church is going to keep Bible doctrines, we got to keep the fight. Man, we got churches and we're caving on every doctrine.
Right.
Man, every doctrine. I mean, we could talk about standards. There are dear men of God taught me great things, and they're still good men of God, preach the gospel. Thank God for every one of them. But they don't stand where they did 20 years ago.
Right.
And I don't understand it. They taught me good Bible principles, but I still love them. Everybody awake? But I don't know what the devil did. And I don't know what their heart did to them. And we're to pray for one another. Everybody say amen right there. And praise God for everybody that talks good about our Lord Jesus. But why are they dropping things? Why are they dropping? Go to Isaiah 59:14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and this pleased him, that there was no what? Have you noticed in the last 20, 30 years, everybody hates judgment? You read through Psalms, David loved judgment. Thy judgments, O Lord, do I love. We read in Hebrews, we're supposed to love the chastening of the Lord. When you get chastised, God uses people. He used Nathan with David, didn't he? Well, that was judgment. It was not condemnation of a person, but of an action. And he brings that judgment so that we get rid of the bad action that hinders us from getting blessings from the main person, God. And here's the problem. We don't want to keep the fight, though, because we've let truth fall in the streets.
Nobody in the culture dresses this way anymore, so we're just going to stop.
Pastor mentioned tie-dyed hair.
Well, everybody's getting tie-dyed hair, so I'm going to go down and get tie-dyed hair, too.
God don't want you looking like a nutcase.
Right. Amen.
When we were in high school, I went to public high school and Christian, but public high school, I had to take this class, psychology. And that's two doors down from hell. Everybody say amen right there. And so I took psychology. If you don't like that, the Bible says our house is the way to hell. So I'm just being scriptural. Everybody say amen. And they taught me that when people tie-dye their hair, it's either they went to a special event or they got emotional struggles. And so I thought, well, I'll take this observation, try it out. Through the years, I've tried out. Every person that's doing odd dyes with their hair, if it wasn't like some dare, some, you know, some party, some thing, I find out they got some emotional struggles, hurts. And they need somebody to love on them and take them to the Bible with those hurts. Everybody say amen right there. But man, the truth is falling in the streets and we don't stand for anything anymore. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we got Christians that are joining in with Black Lives Matter. Because they don't know what Black Lives Matter is all about. Listen, keep fighting or our faith will weaken. Keep fighting or we're not going to stand where we should. Churches that once supported and sent missionaries out to win countries to Christ have dropped every missionary and no longer do evangelism. And they hold to something called TULIP, Calvinism. I mean, get saved, get baptized, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They drop it. Then right here in Dallas, and I got pictures of this stuff, but right here in Dallas, well, it's not right here, but you know, back where I live, it's right there. Amen. But churches that used to, I mean, hellfire and brimstone and brought thousands and upon thousands, even millions to Christ through the years, now fly rainbow flags. Truth is falling in the streets.
Right.
And then we got Baptist churches taking the name Baptist off because they say, well, it identifies us as believing the Bible is perfect. The Bible is perfect.
Amen,
amen, good neighbor. It's good. Everybody all right? Don't drop it. If we went around the room, we could identify many truths. People of God are letting fall in the streets just like Isaiah's day. Why did it fall? Nobody fought the fight of faith right here.
Amen. Good.
Nobody wanted to experience persecution for the word's sake.
Right.
Nobody wanted to endure some heat for the word's sake. Nobody wanted to take a stand. They just wanted to go with the flow. Somebody said the Republicans of our day stand in the same area politically that the Democrats did in the 60s. I was disheartened. The last election, Donald Trump was the only one, to the things that I read at the time I read them, he was the only one that said he was against the one world government, the global agenda. I was heartbroken that all the others, some didn't answer, they wouldn't answer. That scares me too. Everybody say amen. That's like asking somebody in the stand, did you lie? I plead the fifth. Everybody help me right there. What's that just say right there? And some didn't answer. But it broke my heart. I thought, man, everybody's for the same thing, one world deal. They're just going at it slower than others. Thank God for President Trump who was against it.
Amen.
Truth is fallen. We don't want to fight the fight of faith here. 1 Timothy 6, God says, keep the truth. Don't drop it. Make the choice to keep faithing. Would you say it with me? Keep faithing. Say it again. Keep faithing. Number two, keep fighting. Ready? Keep
fighting.
Not at each other. Don't go home and tell your spouse, we're going to fight. Preacher said, keep fighting. No, not at each other. Right in here.
Amen.
So that you can have the fruit of the Holy Ghost coming out of your life.
Amen.
To your spouse and to your children. Number three, keep the truth. Last point, we're done fast. Keep focusing. Keep focusing. Say it with me out loud. Ready? Keep
focusing.
Look at verse number 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The appearing is the rapture. That could be called the first phase of the second coming. A reason people forsake the truth, let it fall in the streets, is they think he's not coming today. They think they got time, so there's no rush. Paul thought the Lord could appear in his day. I think Paul knew more of the Bible than anybody else has in the last 100 years. That means the rapture has always been imminent. God has not been waiting for social media to come back. God hasn't been waiting for helicopters and tanks to come back. God has not been waiting for nuclear weapons to come back. I won't get into it, but there's enough super volcanoes. They say if just half of those things that are all around the world, if half of them went off, it's just one of them has more power than all the nukes that we know of in the whole world. God's never been waiting for man to invent anything.
Right.
It's always been imminent. Everybody say amen right there.
Amen.
It's an advent that'll happen in a moment, the Bible says, twinkling of an eye. Folks, Jesus said the twinkling of an eye is the light reflects off your eyeball. They say it happens in 1/30th of a second. That means Christ could appear in the air, catch us up hither, and be gone 30 times in a second. Nobody would ever see it. Had a Seventh-day Adventist. I call him Seventh-day Disadventist. Amen? and had one of them say,
"We don't believe in a secret rapture." Secret.
I said, "I don't know anything about a secret rapture." They said, "That's what you preach as a Baptist." And I said, "I don't preach no secret rapture." I said, "Well, the lost people, they're blind, you know, so they ain't going to see it. So to people like you, it's secret, but it's not secret to me. I'm going to hear the trumpet. Everybody say amen. Hey, man, they're getting rude at me. I'll just go ahead and get back. Praise God." You say, "Why do you do that?" "Because I love them. Amen." The appearing of Christ. It'll happen in an hour. Jesus said, "We think not." It's going to happen when we least expect it. You say, "What's the message with all that?" Well, here's what God's telling Timothy. Timothy, keep the truth. You're going to keep it by faith in everything that happens, everything you experience. You're going to keep it by fighting that fight of faith in here. Keeping your heart right. Keeping your spirit with others right. Keeping yourself faithful. And then, Timothy, you're going to keep it by remembering, I could come at any moment. Amen. And if I come and I find you lazy, you won't like that. And if I come and find you AWOL, that won't be good for you. But Timothy, I will appear. And when I appear, I want to find you living right. I want to find you keeping the commandments to the best of your ability. I want to find you serving in the house of the living God, forever faithful to me. Amen. He could appear at any time. Keep the truth. He's coming. He's come. Everybody look up here. He's come. And I don't care what these Baptists are beginning to say now that we're in the middle of the tribulation. We ain't in the middle of the tribulation. Look up here. Donald Trump's not the Antichrist. Obama might have been, but everybody say amen. He's not. But here's just what I'm... Is everybody awake? We're not in the tribulation. He could appear at any time. Are you living ready for it? We need to keep the truth. Don't get caught up in the Black Lives Matter silliness. Don't get caught up in all the other things that come and go across this world. Get caught up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get caught up in His work. And get caught up in His people. Keep faithing. Keep fighting. Keep focusing. He's coming back. Keep faithing. Keep fighting. Keep focusing. Would you say it with me? Keep fighting. I'm sorry. I said it wrong, man. Y'all messed me up. All right, here we go. Ready? Keep faithing. Keep fighting. Keep focusing. Ready one more time. Keep faithing, keep fighting, keep focusing.